I'm going to ask that that you will, in your Bibles this morning, turn to a book of the Bible. I'm sure you've heard a lot of sermons from. I'm going to ask that you'll turn to Leviticus 14 this morning. And when you find Leviticus 14, I would ask that you will stand for the reading of God's Word. Leviticus 14, and this message is born out of what I have been studying and teaching back at Eastside in the Sunday school, because our pastor, Pastor Jett, was going through a series on about worship and God being holy, and it just happened to be where I was at in my Bible reading, and God had spoke to me through that, and I just told my pastor, I said, well, you should do a series through the book of Leviticus. And then he laughed at me to begin with, and I'm like, well, it wasn't a joke. I'm like, you should teach through that. And he's just like, well, do you want to teach through it? And I'm just like, that's not what I said. I said, you should teach through that, not me. And I am glad that I would say I accepted that to be able to learn from that, because I will say, out of all the Bible reading and all the studying I've done, I have not found anything as enriching of my understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what impact it makes on my own heart and my own life through the book of Leviticus. And I will say, the more I understand the book of Leviticus, the more I would say it's becoming one of my favorite books of the Bible, because regardless if you realize or understand it, a lot of the hymns that you sing, the messages that are in there, find their foundational truth in this book. And it would surprise you how many hymns. Every time you sing about blood, you have to go to this chapter. Remission, sins, the Lamb, and it just goes on. And so this is really good. So we're going to look at Leviticus 14. We'll read the first 20 verses here, and then we'll be seated here. And it said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is, to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean. And cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even all the hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 tenths deal fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamp and offer for a trespass offering, and a log of oil away, and weigh them for a wave offering before the Lord. And so about just so you know, a log of oil is about 2 cups worth of oil. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering. Now listen, this is strange. And the priest shall put it upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of his right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. All right, may God bless in the reading of his word. And you go ahead and be seated. I feel sometimes as I taught and preacher in Leviticus, you always get the sense like they're wondering if people are watching it to see if you can crash and burn using texts of scripture like this. And but the what we're reading today here, it is so awesome. And what is being pointed to at in this portion of scripture. And I can't think of a better text really to preach, even especially on a Sunday morning, really trying to elevate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, so I don't know if you've noticed, but seems like on the internet and stuff, there's all these now people have come up with all these different like life hacks for different things that you can come up with these different life hacks. I mean, like one of the best ones I've seen after having all these girls, I saw some guy with like a vacuum cleaner, and he had put like a hair tie at the end of the vacuum cleaner tube, and then he turns it on and he sucks his daughter's hair into it and it's all out, and then he quickly was able to put the hair tie on it. I'm like, that's the life hack that I need, because I'm not braiding hair at my house. I'm not doing those type of things. Hey, I'm a guy, if we comb our hair in the morning, we're doing pretty good some days. And so people, there's all sorts of life hacks where people want to find different things to try to make things easier. And along those lines, one of the things that's real popular is life hacks that deal with cleaning. I just tell you this, I just wish I didn't have to clean. I wish I had a self-cleaning button for my house, and I just go in and press it by the front door somewhere, but that's just not a reality. And so there's all these different life hacks that people have out there for like cleaning, like putting like shaving cream on your shower wall of the glass, and I guess it's supposed to help clean it. If you have vinegar at home, it's like heaven's solution for everything. I mean, you can just like, you mix it with this and that, and then you can clean glass, clean stoves, clean, and the list goes on what you can do with vinegar. And I mean, there's just all sorts of different things out there, like putting a pillowcase on your fan blades, and then you can pull the pillowcase off, you can dust your fans like that. So there's all these different hacks that people have come up with that are able to do things which are able to clean and remove physical dirt out of their lives, out of their house, out of their area. But you know, there's one thing that there's a life hack that man has not and does not have their own answer for. And I'm talking about a life hack, not for that physical dirt which makes your house dirty, but what I'm talking about is that which makes us dirty and defiled in the eyes of God. That there is not a life hack that man has come up with that in their own means and their own ways can remove their own guiltiness, their own sinfulness, or their own unwholeness before God. Men have tried to come up with ideas, and at best, the ideas that men come up with to try to deal with their own uncleanness before God is really just about as effective as trying to use vinegar on a rag to remove your sin out of your life. You said that's ridiculous. It would have no effect. And the things that men have done have had no effect. But when I get to Leviticus 14, it is dealing with the subject matter of cleansing. And in this chapter, what God is going to be showing to us and what God is teaching to us is this, is he is taking a physical, he's taking a physical object lesson essentially. And he's saying that from this physical object lesson that they have before, this physical illustration that they have, that I have given to the nation of Israel in regarding the cleansing of the leper, it is the answer for the cleansing that all men need. Because the truth of the matter is that all men are in need of the cleansing power of God, the cleansing power of God to remove the guilt and the stain of sin in their lives. And the answer to that and the effect that it should produce upon our lives is all in this chapter before us. You say, it sounds like you're offering a lot. Can you meet that need? I think we can. And it's, so when you look at chapter 14, we know clearly it's dealing with the subject matter of leprosy. But really to understand what is going on here, you need to understand the book of Leviticus. Chapter 13 and 14 are dealing with the same subject matter. It's the whole chapters are dealing with leprosy here. Now, I want you to picture that what it would have been like if you were at the end of chapter number 13 before you came to chapter number 14. In chapter number 14, or 13, it was all about being identified and designated whether you were a leper or not. That you would present yourself to the priest, who was the representative of God, that you would present yourself to the priest and you would go up to him and say, I've got a little personal problem I need to share with you. Man, I've got this nasty scab on my back. Or, man, I'm going to take my hat off and I've got this big spot on my head. I need you to take a look at it. And he would look at it, and if he couldn't make a determination whether it was leprosy or not, you were isolated for 7 days. So before there was COVID isolation, God had already instituted it. There was 7 days of total isolation from everybody else. After 7 days, you get to come back. The priest would look at you. If no definitive result could be made from that, you would be isolated for another 7 days. And at the end of that, the priest would therefore make a judgment whether that sickness had stayed or whether indeed it was leprosy. And I know if you were on day number 14, you were just praying to God that it was at an end, that it was stopping, that you would hear the word from the priest that said, you're okay, go down and do some sacrifices, everything's okay with you. I know you were dreading hearing the answers, like, but you have leprosy. And I would almost say it'd be worse than some of the diagnoses that we would get as that we could go to the doctor for in our own day and age. Because the result was this. The moment the leper, whether it was a man or a woman, was found with leprosy, their life was totally 100% upended. You couldn't go to work anymore. You lost your job. You were going to be cut off from the community. If you were a man who had a family, you would have to abandon your family. If you're a mother who had a baby at home, you would be separated from your baby. You would be separated from your children. You and the worst part about it is this, is you are not just separated from your family and your community, but ultimately you are separated in your relationship with God, because a holy God cannot have unholy things before him. And so therefore you couldn't go up and have a relationship with him. You could not worship him. You would therefore be cut off from going into the very presence of going before God, even offering your offerings like he commanded. And the result was this, is that you would therefore have to go exclude yourself, live with outside the community. You would have to therefore, when anyone came by you, you would pronounce that you were unclean, not so much to embarrass yourself, but to save other people from becoming unclean themselves and affecting their relationship with God. And you were a completely isolated individual, cut off, separated from everybody and your relationship that you had with God. And unless something happened, that's how your life would end. and you get to the end of chapter 13, that's how 13 ends. 13 ends you in this unholy, unfit condition that you are cut off and you are essentially on a death sentence. Dark, dismal, discouraging. If you were there and you were found guilty or found that you had leprosy by the priest, I don't think you're having a celebration. I think you're probably saying, my life is ruined. It is wrecked. Unless something drastic happens to it, it's all over for me. I have nothing to look forward to. I have no hope. What do I wake up for each and every day? I have nothing to look forward to anymore, except I get to live with my condition that I have before me. Yeah. But then you get to 14. 14, I just love how 14 begins. Because in the verse number 2, it says, in the day of his cleansing. I'm just going to tell you this. That sounds way more amazing. Because here I am cut off. I have a condition. And now here in 14, God's talking about you being cleansed. That's pretty awesome. God had this ceremony put in place that when the leprosy was at a stay, that you could be made clean and that you could be cleansed and the restoration could take place. Now, when you look at this whole thing, you have to understand this is significant and it's highly symbolic, because God could have made this ceremony as simple as humanly possible. Could he not have? He could have just said, hey, why don't you just go wash yourself and offer one offering and boom, be done with the whole thing. You ever notice that he did not do that? There's a whole span of things that there are to do, but it's all really significant and important. Because he would go there and he would call to the porter of the city. He'd say, hey, I think I'm all right now. Will you bring the priest out to me? Bring the man of God to me, since I can't go to him. So he said, okay. And so the priest goes out there and he will examine that individual. He will look at them. And then he will say, okay, I'm in agreement with you. So we have a process. So what we're going to do is we're going to get ourselves two live birds. We're going to get ourselves a bucket of running water. Basically what it meant is we're not going to get mud water out of a puddle somewhere. We're going to get some fresh water together here. And you're going to get yourself a little cedar, little hyssop, little scarlet thread, and we'll make ourselves basically a paintbrush. And this is what we're going to do here is we're going to take that first bird. We're going to take one of those birds and we're going to wring its neck off. I mean, we're just going to tear its head off. And we're going to spill blood all over the place. We're going to spill blood into the water. We're going to take blood and we're going to sprinkle it before the Lord. And we're going to take blood and we're going to sprinkle it 7 times before you. We'll take that same blood and we'll take it and put it onto the blood of the living bird. Now, living bird, its sacrifice is being represented on the blood of that living bird. And he said, we're going to take that bird and we're going to throw it. We're just going to let that thing go. I'm going to tell you this, that bird's not coming back anytime soon. I'm just telling you, man, you just did that to that bird. And then you guys are crazy if you think I'm coming back here. I don't care what you guys have to give me to eat. I'm not flying back there. And it's gone. Never more to be seen anymore. And then the leper, the one that has been stayed, then he will take and he will shave every single follicle of hair off of his body. I mean, you had to look strange walking into camp with no hair, none at all. I just think it's some lady who had leprosy. And she's got no eyebrows and no hair on her head. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And then he would wash himself and reclothe himself in clean clothes. Then he would be permitted to be able to go back into the congregation, but he couldn't go home. I mean, he had to wait 7 days before he could even go home. I mean, that would be the longest 7 days in that person's life. 7 days later, the priest would look at him again. And if he was fine still, then he would rewash, reshave himself again, and then a series of sacrifices would take place there. Okay? There would be a sin offering, there would be a trespass offering, but then something interesting happens in relationship to those. That after the trespass offering, they're collecting blood. Now, all of this is significant. They're taking blood. They're putting it on your right ear, your right thumb, and your right toe. Following that, then they would then take oil. They would put it on your right ear, your right thumb, your right toe, and then they pour the rest of the oil on top of your head. And then the Bible says on the eighth day, all of that, they would be restored and restoration. They would be cleansed and restored. Now, all of this is highly significant and important. All these things that are taking place, what it is trying to show to that cleansed leper there, what they're trying to understand, and what you and I need to understand is this, that what God was trying to show to them with the shaving of all the hair off and all the cleansing, all that, it gives the idea and the picture of like a newborn baby, that you are having like a new birth, a new life. In other words, you have been passed from death unto life. That's what this ceremony is talking about here, is because in chapter 13, you were basically dead man walking, and now you have been given a new lease on life. You have passed from death unto life. You have been cleansed. You have been made whole. You can now not just be in the presence of your own family, but now you can even be in the very presence of God. That's what's going on in this chapter here. And when it happens on the eighth day, it gives you the idea of this, that it didn't say the first day, it said the eighth day. In other words, in relationship to the 7 days before that, this is something new has begun. When the Bible uses the eighth day, it's talking about a new start and a new beginning. So that's where he's at. A hopeless, condemned leper of chapter 13 has now cleansed, restored, passed from death unto life in chapter number 14. Now, I like that. It's really good. But I have a really big problem, though. Because when I read this, my joy from chapter 14 fizzles super fast. Well, what are you talking about? There is a major, major, major problem between 13 and 14. You want to know what that is? It is this. The guy who is a leper could go down to the priest and have judgment passed upon him that he had leprosy. He could go down to the priest and he could follow the ceremonies to be cleansed and restored through the use of a priest. But you know what's missing between those two chapters? The priest could not offer a cure. There is no cure. I mean, I love 14, but if you were 13, you'd be like, where in the world is the cure at? Now, this is remarkable, because now you start getting into some other areas. Because if you understand this, the priests are the representative of God's law. And basically what we have here is an illustration of the fact that here is a person who has become unclean, just naturally become unclean. He didn't go down and purchase leprosy somewhere. Just naturally, because of the effects of sin being brought in the world, has now been made unclean. And the only thing that the law can do is to pronounce judgment upon you. That's the only thing that the law could do. It can pronounce judgment upon you, whether you are guilty or whether you are clean. All that it could do. You see, this leprosy, there was no cure for it. You know what's amazing to me? It just, what makes it even worse is Jesus in the Gospels. He went down to the synagogue to read the scriptures. And I'm telling you this, it had to be awesome to watch the Lord read the scriptures down in the synagogue. He got up there and he read about the acceptable year of the Lord. And everyone's like, yeah, we love those messianic prophecies. And I could just see him rolling that scroll up, and he's just like, this day is the scriptures fulfilled in your ears. And boy, blood vessels were busted in people's heads. They were upset. They were like, who in the world does this man think he is, saying that he's the Messiah? Well, then Jesus, instead of defending his Messiahship, he decided to judge them for their own unbelief. And in their judgment of their unbelief, then he would go on to say this. Now listen to this. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet. You not hear that? Did he say many? So if this is the Lord, many lepers. And then the next thing he says is this. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Do you understand what Christ is saying? There's a whole lot of lepers and nobody's being cured. In other words, here was an incurable problem that no one is able to fix. And then what makes it even heightens it is when you look at the illustrations in the Old Testament about leprosy, the removal of leprosy that ever took place that you read about in there was by the miraculous power and hand of God being involved in it. Moses. Did you know Moses had leprosy? He did. Moses was called by God to go lead Israel out, and he had doubted, and he said, I don't think they're going to listen to me. And God said, I'll give you a sign. Shove your hand in your jacket and pull it out. And man, he did. And it was his arm was just nasty. It was white and leprous. And I mean, I think Moses probably freaked out a little bit. And he said, Moses, calm down. Now put your hand back in your jacket real quick. And then pull it out again. And it was cleansed again. I'm telling you this. That wasn't because Moses had a magical jacket or a magical robe. It was by the power of God. You remember Miriam? Miriam and Aaron, they ran their mouth about their brother one day. And you never believe that God was not happy with that. And so the result of it was that Miriam got leprosy. Moses interceded for Miriam. And then Miriam was cured from her leprosy 7 days later. But I'm going to tell you this. It wasn't Moses' prayer that cured her. It was the very power of God that cured her. I'm just telling you. You read about leprosy. Or if you ever, many times there's time that King Uzziah went into the temple when he shouldn't have went into it, and then God gave him leprosy. I'm just telling you this. When you got leprosy, that when you read in there, unless God intervened, you were most likely going to die in this condemned state, and the law had no answer, no cure for you. And all of this, you have to understand, is all of this is a reality of the truth. That the reason why there's even leprosy here and people are being made unwhole is because sin entered into the world. And so this was understanding these people to Israel when God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That a holy God cannot allow you into his presence in your tainted condition there, and that your leprosy is a fact of the matter, that it is a part of that curse that separates us. Now, when I begin to understand that, and when I begin to understand then what God is illustrating and showing to us here is, you know what? It should tell us then a lot about our own sinfulness and about sin. Because the cleansing the leper needed in chapter 13 is what every single one of us needs in our own life. We need to be made clean, not because we have a leprosy that defiles the physical flesh, but we have a spiritual type leprosy, which is called sin, that separates us from God, and we must be made clean from that very thing. It's what every place and every person needs to hear is that you need to be clean through Jesus Christ. You need to be clean, not because you have sinned, but because you are a sinner and your sins just declare the fact that you are dirty and you're defiled. And this, the fact of the matter is then what this is illustrating this is in that condition, the law, God's word, cannot in itself, by keeping it or doing it, do that which would cure you in your life. Do you understand that? Because if you break the law at one point, you are guilty of all. The law can only do one thing to you, and that is to make you condemned before the eyes of God. That every mouth may be stopped, and every person be found guilty before God. That's what the law does. It is a mirror that reflects our own sinful condition. That's what it does. And so, though that being the case, that this chapter is this, that God is saying what the law could not do, that God in His rich grace and His mercy sent His Son so that we may be clean. Because that's what this whole thing is pointing to, is the work of Jesus Christ. You see, we have this water that's brought before there. This is awesome. In our Bibles, it says running water. The Hebrew word for running, this is going to sound familiar to you, and it should if you've read your Bible any. The Hebrew word is living. It is living water. If you have blood and this blood mixed with living water, you are made clean. I think Jesus talked about living water one time, that when he was in Samaria and he wanted a drink of water by the well, and he asked that Samaritan woman, he said, will you give me something to drink? Would you lower your bucket down and give me something to drink? And she's like, who in their right mind would be talking to a Samaritan, a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan? And the Lord had a correct reason. And he, knowing the condition of her heart, he said, you know what? You need something more than water at the bottom of Jacob's well. If you had known who had asked you for water, you would have asked me for living water that would spring up into eternal life. That's what you would have asked for. In other words, it points to that Christ being that living water force that cleanses us from our sins. Those two birds, it represents the death of Jesus Christ here, and that when his blood is applied, then what God sees this is like a living bird set free. That's how our sins are in the presence of God. We are set free and made cleansed through the sacrifice of Christ. Yeah. So when you look at it, when we are understanding and looking at this chapter, we need to understand that the message that God has for us, this is the cleansing that we all need. That just as the priest came out to the leper, that Jesus Christ came to us. We couldn't go to where he was at. There's no way we could have reached to where he was at. There's no way we could have had entrance even near the presence of God because of our own unwholeness and our own uncleanness. But thank God that Jesus came to where we were. That the Bible says he came to seeking to save that which is lost. And even the prophecy said that regarding his death, where did he die at? He died outside the camp. Where did the priest go to get the leper in this? He had to go outside the camp to go get the leper. All of this is pointing to the reality that Jesus is the cure and cleansing that we all need. But then there's something more. So the cleansing that Christ provides for us is to make a great change in our lives. And that's what's being illustrated here. So when the leper was cleansed, we read about blood being on the ear and on the thumb and on the toe. And that's pretty awesome. That's being completely covered by the blood. Full remission of sin. I mean, that's what we get. But then they do something weird. They put oil also on the ear, the thumb, and the toe, and then they pour it on the head. But what's interesting is this. Do you know that ceremony has been repeated earlier in Leviticus? It was repeated when God gave all the offerings. They had everything set up. The offerings were all explained. And then they were going to have their first church service. But before they had their first church service, they had to have a preacher and his helpers in place. In other words, the priests and Aaron and his sons all had to be in place. And you know what they did on the day that they were to do there? They all washed themselves, put on new different garments. Then they would have blood put on their right ear, their thumb, and their right toe. And then Moses would take oil and pour it over Aaron's head. Do you know what that was picturing? They were being set apart for service. They were being consecrated unto service for God. And so listen, so what that was being done for the priest then is now being done for the person that's been cleansed and been restored. That you have your life, there should be a change in your life that takes place. A life of service and consecration unto the Lord. The result of me being made clean is this, that now my life then, there should be an eagerness and zeal about me to live a life consecrated, devoted into service unto God. I mean, how many of you think that this would, does this not seem like this would be very, very weird to you? If you just picture this in your head, here's this leper who's been cleansed. And he's gone through all of this. 8 days, he's gone through all of this. And then he goes, you know, I kind of liked it out there outside the camp. I kind of like hanging out with those other guys that had leprosy. I kind of like my old lifestyle. I kind of liked the way I used to talk, telling everybody I was unclean and all that. You know, I really kind of like that. You know, I kind of liked it, you know, when I just was out there, I could just kind of do my own thing. I was already cut off from everyone anyway. Well, how much more trouble could I get in out here? I'll just go ahead and act any old way that I want to. And you know, hey, who can stop me from going back out there? And you know what? That just challenges me in my own life. Because one, preaching a message like this at church, I know many of us are saved, but I have a hard time always believing that everyone's 100% saved in every single service. I don't know. That's between a person and God. He knows that very thing. And that this message, is, if you're not saved today, is definitely God is trying to say to you, you are unholy, you're unfit, you need to be clean in the very presence of God. That is it for you this morning. But what about us that are saved? What God is trying to say is this. You need to see and understand what you were saved from and what I have cleansed you from. And I have saved you not just so that you can live a life of freedom absent of me in your life, that the result of it is this, is that once you are saved, I want you to be consecrated and dedicated unto me. We're not going to embrace our old lifestyle. We're not going to go back to our old lifestyle. We're not gonna be what I was when I was unclean, but I am going to be an individual that I am not just changed, but I am being changed into the image of God. I am changing. And that's the idea here, that when we look at this and we should say to ourselves, look what Christ has done for me. And listen, God wants me to be consecrated. He wants me to be devoted unto Him. And it should make me look at my own life and say, how is my devotion to the Lord at this very moment for what He has done for me? That is a legitimate question that's coming for it, because each and every one of us would think, if that cleansed leper went out and did all of the things that he used to do, you'd be like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that? God has just cleansed you. You have just been made restored. You've got to go home. You got your job back. And what? You're willing to lose it all just so you can go back to what you were when you have been given new life and you've been given a new opportunity that you can have a relationship with God, that you can worship Him and that you can come near Him, that you can have this vital relationship with Him? Why go back to that? That we should just come before Him and say, man, you cleansed me and you got all of me. And maybe today is the day of just like, you know what? I know I have not been as devoted and consecrated. There are areas in my life. And I'm going to tell you this, this same power that's able to cleanse the leper is the same power that's available to you. If you'll humbly confess your sins before Him, He is, what's the Bible say? Faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If I would just come before Him and say, God, I have been so negligent by what you've done for me. And I am so sorry for just being haphazard about this whole thing. I'm not even careful about how I behave, where I act, where I go. And God, I know you want all of me. And today I need to get back. I'm only at about 70%, God, but can you bring me to the other 30%? I'm ready for that. You know, as I close out this message, I'm reminded of a commercial growing up when I was a kid. It was for a brand of soap that's out there. Zest Soap. Have you ever heard of Zest Soap? Yeah, all right. And Zest Soap, their motto was this. You're not what? Fully clean unless you're Zest fully clean. I'm just going to tell you that. That's a bunch of baloney. Because I'll just tell you this. You can scrub yourself with a bar of Zest Soap till your skin falls off. But I'm going to tell you this. You'll never be clean unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't use a bar of soap to remove your guilt and sinfulness before God. But there is one that's like the fuller soap that will cleanse you and give you new life. And that same cleansing is available to you today if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. But also for us who are saved, that same cleansing is what's available for us who need to come and confess our own dirtiness and filthiness before God. And He is more than willing to meet you if you're willing to come and humble yourself before Him. All right, we're going to go ahead and stand, and we will have a time of invitation here. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to look at this chapter. And I know when we look at a chapter like this in the Bible, the idea is not to try to find something unique and different in a book of the Bible that maybe someone's never heard of before, God. But I believe what we have here before us is a living, breathing illustration of the cleansing power of Christ, that He gives us the cleansing that we all need. And God, if there's somebody in here that's not saved today, and they may have even come here to church for a long time, God, I would pray that they would make that decision to put their faith and trust in Christ. And God, we who are saved, maybe our devotion isn't where it needs to be yet. And today we just need to come before you, ask for forgiveness, and devote ourselves and consecrate ourselves into living a life worthy of what you have saved us from. Thank you, God, for this time. And I just pray in Christ's name. Amen.